is living in a cheap hotel. There's this quiet Cleveland's cold.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Sean Ross coming up into next hour, so please stay tuned for that. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my next guest, former State Senator Rusty Glover is with us. Senator, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you.
Hey, thanks for making time. We'll kick it off here, kind of the breaking news about the I-10 bridge. And I don't know if you've seen this latest proposal, but I mean it's roughly the 2019 proposal, but without some of the negatives that people fought against, the free routes and the exorbitant toll. It's a lower toll. Senator Albritton's not convinced it's much different, but I think it is. It's probably the best deal that's out there. Do you think the public's going to buy it?
Oh, I would think so. I mean, the big concern 3 years ago was the tolls on the existing road, which was completely, completely unacceptable. And there was just no way. I mean, I would have, on principle, I would have driven around, gotten on Dolly Parton on I-65 to go in that direction. There's no way I was going to consistently pay a toll on existing road. So I'm glad that that part portion did fail. But I'm optimistic that this is going to work. If they charge a toll on the new road that I'm not going to travel, I'm not real concerned. It'd be kind of like charging a $5 or $10 admission onto Ono Island. I don't think I'll be going on Ono Island, so it's not going to concern me. I just want to make sure that the existing road is free. And in fact, I'm about to get on the Bayway in just a few minutes, and being no charge is completely acceptable.
Right. I think you're on to something there for sure. There won't be naysayers, but it seems like this is the best we're gonna do, and we're gonna have to pay a toll. I think what they need to be careful with here is they need to make this abundantly clear. Yeah, it's a $2.50 toll each way, but you're gonna have to have that transponder, and they're gonna have to make that clear that that's part of the deal here.
Right. And I assume that those Louisiana, Texas, those unaware travelers would be sent some sort of a ticket or indication that they had to pay through the mail. I'm assuming.
That's what they do in Florida. There's a bunch of these bridges where they just it's toll by plate. There's one down around Destin when I lived there. If you had the transponder, it was like a few cents cheaper. It's significantly cheaper. However,
just hope the GPS will steer them over on the out of towners onto the new road, and we'll have a smooth sailing across the Bayway.
Yeah, well, it'll be like people will use the free route, but then when it gets clogged up, well, I'll pay the $2.50 or whatever.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
At least it sounds like we're making progress here. I don't think this one is as quite as toxic as that last one.
The last one was totally unacceptable. I mean, it just you start adding up how much it would cost per month and then per year, and it was it was atrocious. So that wasn't going to work from the get-go.
It was like somebody's get-rich-quick scheme came true or something, right?
Right. And for an existing route, I wouldn't have paid a quarter to go on an existing route. There's just no way that's going to happen for me. I'm glad that they're working it out and that the two existing routes will be free.
Let's move on to some other topics here. So we had a Chairman Klaus on earlier in the program, and there's been a push around, especially the media, surprisingly, of all places, AL.com. But then I think, like, we got this ARPA money, and you're looking at what other states are doing with it, and they're giving some kind of tax break or incentive or whatever, something to lessen the tax burden, I should say, on the public with this COVID money. Alabama it's, I don't know if it's a tone deafness or just that they're so certain that this won't matter to people. They're not interested in doing any of that. Georgia's got the gas tax. Florida's got a gas tax holiday. Mississippi is actually working toward eliminating its income tax. And Tennessee's got the grocery tax pause. Alabama not interested really in any of that.
Yeah, I think that the more people, the citizens are aware that these are things are happening in other states. And I think quite a few people are aware. But I think the larger volume of voters and citizens hear about this, they're going to urge their legislators to at least put something from the ARPA money in towards some sort of tax relief, you know, especially during this time of inflation and high gas prices.
I mean, is this something, though, that, you know, it's like a hot potato. Like, when you ask a lot of these folks, what do you think of doing something here? And it's just, no. It's like when they ask Governor Ivey about a gas tax holiday. No, that won't really help. That's, we gotta build our roads. I mean, isn't that remarkable that it's so, like, no, absolutely not, is the response.
Yeah, when people see that other states are doing it with the ARPA money, I think it's hard to say no to the people if other states are doing that, and it really is. And I know there's some the prison situation and the rural broadband. You know, I know a lot of people here kind of look at the that issue as not being as important, but I tell you. You know, whether you believe or not believe that it's a function of the state to pay for it or to help out, it is a serious, serious problem in those areas. As I traveled all over the state, there were a lot of areas, particularly place I can remember because I was really kind of stuck there for like 8 or 9 hours in Berry and Fayette County. And it was I could text in some parts of the town, but you couldn't, it was no phone service. No internet. It was just, you know, it was 30 years ago. It wouldn't have been a problem, but you know, everything we have to have that to function now. Unfortunately, that's reality. And to those people, it's extremely important. And economic development is crucial to have it. And it is a big, big issue for those areas. But then again, you know, I mean, most folks in our area, you know, that's. You know, we have other concerns. Our roads are a big concern here. I don't know. I think, like I said, more people hear about the what's going on in other states, it's going to happen.
You know, we like you said, maybe don't realize and take the internet connectivity for granted. It's not just. It's not just like, oh, well, they got AT&T or they got Verizon or whatever. Well, they got Comcast or whatever, I should say. But it's a lot of places, you're right. They don't even have the LTE, you know, what we take for granted on our cell phone ability. It's just there's no towers there or anything. That's not something that is discussed. It sounds more like it's the old-fashioned telecom type approach that the state's really interested in.
Right. And like I said, it is big time deal to those people. I mean, it's as important to them as a lot of things that we feel is important to us that, you know, that the government, helps out, subsidizes to a certain extent. I'm not a big government guy, but, you know, it's, you know, we're paying for roads. You know, this is part of the infrastructure is that.
Well, do you think that is the way we got to look at internet now is more of a utility than a, you know, kind of nice to have luxury or whatever? It goes from being a want to a need.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe, you know, 20 years ago, it would be considered a luxury. Now, in some of these areas, what I hear from people from around the state when I was campaigning, it is. More than a luxury, it's absolutely necessary. And again, for economic development purposes, you know, bringing jobs and factories to certain places, you know, they have to function with, you know, the 21st century telecommunications.
Well, that's fair. I guess it's not even looking at it from an economic development standpoint, but just like we would think of power, water, sewer, gas, it is something that the government needs to be involved in, that everybody should have it, that we never talked about power or power lines or whatever. Well, we got to have power lines in these parts of the state because of economic development. It's you got to have it to survive, and that's kind of where society has taken us, it seems.
That's correct.
So, and when you do that, though, when you start thinking about it differently like that, I mean, that does change the role of government. One would think government
involvement. It does, and you got to be careful when you do go in that direction. What else is going to be asked for to be paid for by the government? And that's when you're moving in the wrong direction. At least fiscal conservative people.
Well, I was telling one of our earlier guests, I mean, whenever Alabama starts taking on these new roles, and water and sewer sounds like that's on the horizon, that the states can be putting money into that to help out the Wilcox and Lowndes counties, and now rural broadband, let's make sure they don't screw it up, right?
I think that it, to a certain extent, the state does need to at least be, making sure that helping out to make sure those areas are adequately hooked up.
Yeah, well, it's new territory for these guys, like I said, and when they, I don't know, is it really, is a small government guy, Senator, do you want state government? I mean, I know they are to an extent with the Public Service Commission and regulating water and sewer, but we're talking about taking money and giving it to municipalities. They gave money to Calera. They gave money to Troy. They're going to give money to these counties and taking money from the state and awarding it for upgrading or improving their existing infrastructure. And I mean, is that really the role of the state government?
Yeah, to me, it's not. I really just don't see that. For many years, a lot of the education dollars, that are in Mobile, especially in Baldwin County, they're going into these rural areas. And, a lot of people, at first you think, well, that's just not right. That money was spent in Baldwin County. That's money generated in Baldwin County. It shouldn't go to Wilcox or Monroe and some of those counties. But the thing of it is, a lot of those people who are renting those condos, who are shopping down here in Mobile and Baldwin County, are people from those areas. And so that's the reason why a lot of the money that may be generated here may be going up to some of those needy counties so that they can keep the light bill on at the school and hire the teachers, and whatnot. But that's the reason why they're looking at it that way, is that a lot of these counties can't generate. They have no tax base. They have very little opportunity to raise the funds or revenue to pay for certain things.
Well, I'll say this about Lowndes County. And they've had the opportunity. The money has been there to do something. And it has been a situation, my understanding, that they just could never agree on a plan. They could never agree on a contractor. They could never that there was always this infighting. So is it going to take the state to come in and say, this is what you're going to do? You can't take care of yourself. We'll take care of it for you. And which may be completely necessary and above board. However, it is a new role the state of Alabama is taking on.
Yeah, I think if the revenue is there in those counties let's say the sewer projects or the whatnot, I don't see any reason why we should be putting state money into that if they do have those adequate funds already.
Well, I think they got some federal money to do this. Yeah. It was Adderholt and Terry Sewell, right? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, federal money also. Yes, I think you know, if the money is there, it's no reason for us to, you know, further subsidize it unless it's absolutely needed in those areas.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very kind to make time for us, and let's get you on again really, really soon.
Yes, sir. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. That was former state senator Rusty Glover there on the line, traveling the state as he is doing right now. 251-343-0106. That is how you get in touch with the program. We got a few texts to get to. We'll try to get to those on the other side, so please stay tuned. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Sweet home in Dixieland delight. We tell stories about what goes on in Montgomery at midnight. 'Cause Music Row ain't only in Tennessee. So won't you bury me in Dixie?